In the late 80s, I got one of the best gifts I wanted. Now, in the late 80s, we didn't have like Google, so I couldn't just like Google this thing. I could only see it on commercials. And I knew when I saw it on the commercials, like, I wanted it. I grew up in South Knoxville, Tennessee. And so like, we knew like outside, and that was about it. We just went outside to play. We had some TV we could watch. But whenever I would see, look on TV, I'd see this thing called the Nintendo. And man, I was fired up to get one of those. My mom and dad bought me a Nintendo. And it was like, I thought it was going to be good. Like, I thought it was going to be great. But when I got that thing, it was amazing. Like, it was phenomenal. I spent all kinds of times playing the Nintendo. I mean, like, I don't know about you guys, but I can still remember how frustrated I would get how long it took me to beat Piston Honda on Punch-Out. Okay? It took me forever to beat that guy, and I get so frustrated that I'd just throw the controller, and but I finally beat him, and that's okay. It's good. Soon after the Nintendo came out, there was like the Super Nintendo, and then the Nintendo 64, and then like the weird GameCube thing that I never bought, and then the Wii, the Wii U, the Switch. You know, I'm a Nintendo guy. And it's funny, like, in this day of technology advances so fast that the new things you have aren't, like, that much more incredible than the previous things. But the good things, the great things, become, like, old so fast because new technology comes out. We have many great things that we often overlook because we're being entertained by other things. And there are some things in life in general that we just grow really used to. Things that we take for granted in life and in spiritual things. For instance, we think about where we live today in America and the kind of access to all kinds of great things we have that we don't normally think about. For instance, we have clean running water, when many across the world still have no water. Actually, 45% of those living in rural populations globally don't have the knowledge and resources to manage their own health by washing their hands with soap and water. And we have whole stores dedicated to soap. You know, and candles. And when those things go on sale, we're like, take our money. It's what we do. It's like, oh, they're on sale. I got to go pick up 3 candles for $25. Let's go now. We take for granted that we have soap and water. Most of us have the money we need to live here or in a suburb like ours, yet globally, 700 million people live on less than $2 a day. It's less than $30 a month, less than $700 a year. Many of us spend more than $30 a month on coffee. We take for granted what we have. People in the U.S. are expected to live 18 years longer on average than those born in sub-Saharan Africa because of the wealth and the resources we have in America. We have so many good things, so much access to good things that we run the risk of forgetting great things. And we run the risk of forgetting the greatest thing. Even today, as we sit here in a gathered church with lights, with the freedom to preach the gospel, with a Bible in our hands, we have access to things that much of the world does not have access to. For instance, 43% of the people groups in the world, 43% of people groups in the world, 3.25 million people, I'm sorry, billion people, billion people of the nearly 8 billion in the world have little or no access to the gospel. We are a privileged people to have access to this gospel, to preach it today, to have it in our hearts and love it and live by it. According to Wycliffe Bible translators, the full Bible is available in 704 different languages, giving 5.7 billion people access to the scripture in the language they understand best. There are currently 3,945 languages with no scripture. Billions of people cannot open the Word of God and know God's full revelation. They don't have it. They don't have access to it. And we are so privileged to have a Bible, to have multiple Bibles, to have a gospel, to have the truth of the person and the work of Jesus Christ, to have the life-changing message of Jesus Christ in our hearts today, to declare him worthy of our praise today, to gather together today. We are privileged. And this is exactly what Peter is saying in today's text. He says, we have both the scriptures and the salvation which scriptures proclaim. And he says this really foundational truth, basically this sentence, that there is no greater joy than knowing Christ and living for him today. There's no greater joy than to know Christ and to live for him today. If you get this, if you understand the gospel, then you understand what you have in Christ. Personal salvation, forgiveness for every sin, every word, every thought, every action, past sin, present sin, future sin, fully forgiven in Christ Jesus. And if you understand this, you understand there's nothing this world has to give you, nothing this world can offer you, nothing more that you need than this truth. This is why Christians throughout the history can walk into persecution with their heads held high. This is why they can walk into suffering. This is why Drew and Brooke Tucker can pack up their stuff and move to Romania to preach the gospel. This is why people, retirees, college students, young professionals, whole families go to places where if it's found out they're Christian, they could be killed. Why do they do it? Because they understand what they have in Christ is better than anything this world has to offer. You see, Peter is talking to these elect exiles who are suffering under the weight of persecution, under the weight of political power, and they are most assuredly questioning whether or not they should persist or continue, whether or not they can remain faithful, and they are suffering. And he writes to them in this big, long sentence, this introduction to his letter that says basically, remember, you have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Your future salvation is yours. And he says your present sufferings are sure, but you can have joy in Jesus no matter the situation or circumstance. And then he turns his attention to the past, really, glories of salvation. And he looks backwards to talk about these past glories of salvation and the current salvation that they have. And he says that believers in Jesus are blessed to live in a time when the prediction of the prophets has come to pass. You and I are blessed to live today when we have the whole counsel of God. And he gives us these four perspectives, these four viewpoints of these divine players here today. Look at me again at verse 10. Concerning this salvation, we looked at that last week in verse 10, where it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice in him. Concerning this salvation that you have in Christ, you love him by faith. You believe in him. He saved you. He's changed you. Your whole life belongs to him. Now he says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace, this is the true grace of God, that was to be yours, they searched and they inquired carefully. The first person, the first people he highlights are the prophets. And this is what he says. He says, the prophets studied this salvation with diligence. The prophets studied the salvation, studied it with diligence. This salvation that we're talking about today, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they longed to know what you and I know fully. They searched and they studied. They only knew what was revealed to them at that time, which was the eternal plan of God to restore his people to his kingdom through an anointed king of David's line. That's all they knew. They knew that there was a Messiah to come, that God had promises in Genesis 3:15, after the fall, that there was someone coming who would defeat Satan and make right the sin, who would redeem the world and bring things back into perfect fellowship with God. And they didn't know who, they didn't know when. All they knew is this is what God was revealing to them by his Spirit. And they searched and they inquired. Those words mean what it sounds like they mean. They diligently searched. They looked everywhere. Yesterday, we were trying to track down Marcy's iPad. And I'm telling you, I don't know, we looked everywhere in our house, like everywhere in our house. We were under couches, under beds, we were under blankets, and we were tearing the place apart because she had something on the iPad she needed. and we couldn't find it. Eventually, I pulled out the Find My feature, which is awesome, and started hitting play sound. Of course, we're sitting there listening, we're dinging it, and we're going everywhere to find it. And then we have this like constructed large animal. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a unicorn or something. And you could hide inside, it's like a little tent. And so we're dinging it, we're tracking down this unicorn in our house, and we open it up, and there's the iPad set up where Scarlett had been sitting with a thing of crackers beside her hiding. But we found the iPad. These guys, they searched. Lord, you're telling us this Messiah is to come? There's someone coming to make right? All the while they're wandering, all the while they're in exile, all the while they're suffering, they're looking, they're suffering, but they're riding, trying to lift the eyes of God's people to heaven. Trust in God. And how are they believing God? By faith. They're believing God by faith. I can't understand who you're sending. I don't know when they're coming. Oh, but God, we are trusting in you. We want to know who it is. And today, church, we have what the Old Testament prophets long to understand. Some of the clearest revelations are found in Isaiah 52 and 53 that talk about the suffering servant and basically explain out everything that Jesus would go through for you and for me. And we have this salvation. Like, if we were to get in a time machine, some of you would be like, oh, I want to go back and hang out with Moses, or I want to go back and look at the Red Sea, or I want to go back to whatever. You understand, all the prophets would want to travel to our time. They'd want to come here and sit in this room and hear this salvation preached. And they would want to have their eyes open and go, yes, this is what we were talking about. You have what we long to have. And many of us could care less. We sit here with apathetic hearts, with numb hearts, playing around in sin, enjoying the world, torn between the two. And they say, you have what we search for. See, the prophets studied it with diligence. Secondly, the Spirit inspired it with authority. The Spirit inspired the salvation with authority. It says they were inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Notice that the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. Now get this. Christ, this is going to blow your mind. Christ predicted, that says predicted. Christ predicted Christ. The Spirit of Christ, the preeminence of Jesus from beginning of time all the way through Colossians 1, John 1, Hebrews 1, if you just look. Jesus existed before the creation. All things were created through him. He's writing the story, authored through the Spirit by the Father. Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit predicted the things as they're writing. God is writing by his Spirit for your benefit and my benefit. He wants you to know through the Old Testament prophets, they were talking about you and about me. And Peter here is telling the elect exiles here that he's writing to them. So therefore, they can look up in their suffering. They can look up in their life and know they have what the prophets wanted. They have it because the Spirit wanted them to have it. And even as we consider, I mean, verses 10 and 12 are just full of the Holy Spirit's work. That God is the author in this. That he is the one who's revealed his eternal plan through the pages of history, revealed in Scripture. And it's revealed progressively through the Scriptures. Starts in Genesis 1, the creation of the world. We see what happened with the fall, where all of mankind is broken because of sin. We're born into sin. You want to know why your heart's so selfish? It's because of sin. You want to know why your marriage is like this all the time? Because it's because of sin. You want to know why your kids rebel? Because of sin. You want to know why you can't shake that habit that's just destroying you? It's because of sin. You want to know why you long for more and more and more in this life, all the while you feel empty inside? It's because of sin. God says in Genesis 3, sin entered the world and it's affected all of us. But there is hope coming in a Savior, Jesus, who was born to die for your sin and my sin. And 2,000 years ago, he took all of your sin, all of my sin, the sin of his people, and he put them on himself. God put them on Jesus and punished Jesus in your place for my sin. And when a person comes to Jesus and they see his death and they say he rose to life and they give him their life, he forgives them and wipes away all their sin. And this is the gospel. This is the grace that God works to save you and to save me from our rebellion and redeem us. Forgive us, bring us back into fellowship with him, restore us to who we were meant to be in him. This is the progressive revelation of God. It helps us understand the greatness of our salvation. And the prophets believed it by faith. Not only is it progressively revealed, but it's revealed sufficiently in the scriptures. The Bible we have before us, all of it testifies about the true grace of God from beginning to end. It is written by God. 2 Timothy 3 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Peter goes on to say in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The sufficiency of scripture, everything you need to know about your life, is found right here. You understand, you have a direct line with Jesus Christ. It's right here before you. You have in your lap the very words of God spoken so that you might know God, know his character, know your sin, know the distance between your sin and his holiness, and to know that chasm is unable to be jumped by you. It can only be done by a work of God. That comes through faith in Christ. He inspired it so that you might know him. Not only do we have the prophets who studied it diligently or the Spirit who inspired it with authority, but you see the apostles who preached it with power. The apostles, they preached it with power. Verse 12 says, it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Long verse. Goes back to the prophets, and it says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, so they had to trust by faith that their writings, that these things were for someone else into the future, that is, the church. In the things that have now been announced to you, that's the gospel, through those who preach the gospel, the good news to you by the Holy Spirit. The apostles who were with Jesus, who were empowered by Jesus, preached this gospel all across Acts. We did that series last year. They delivered it to the church so that they might share it with the world. The full revelation of God and the personal work of Jesus Christ is what they preached. It's what they proclaimed. This truth changed lives through their preaching. It went out from their hearts and their mouths to thousands upon thousands who believed by faith, who saw their lives radically changed. Sinners, tax collectors, sexually immoral people, the most wicked of people, all of them saved. Murderers. The gospel has no boundaries. Anybody who comes to Jesus by faith can be saved. And that's the good news. It doesn't matter how much sin you've done, how sinful you think you are, how far off you think you are. It doesn't matter how dirty you are, how many people you've slept with. It doesn't matter the grotesqueness of sins. If you come to Jesus by faith, this gospel will save. It will save. This means when we go out this week, we go in the power of the Spirit, and this gospel will save if we deliver it. Will we deliver it? This is the gospel that the apostles preached with power, and this same gospel, not only them, but the church throughout history has preached the same gospel, has stewarded this same message, and this same message landed right here in Huntersville, and this same message is being proclaimed today and from our mouths this week. This is our gospel. This is our salvation. And there is no better day than to rejoice in salvation than today. Because we have the prophets desired to look into. We have what the Holy Spirit inspired to give to us. We have what the apostles delivered with power. And finally, we have what the angels examine with wonder. Get this. It says, we have things into which angels long to look. They desire, they marvel at this message. We're seeing four truths today. I got four warnings here in a second. But these angels long to look into what you and I have. This gospel that's proclaimed today. They don't get to experience what it's like to go from death to life. You understand, the gospel is a decision to believe Jesus. It's not something you grow up in. It's not something you just get. It is a line between I'm dead and I can become alive. I can have eternal life. I can be forgiven for my sin if I would believe Jesus died and rose for me. If I would believe by faith Jesus did these things for me, I can be forgiven. It's a decision you have to make between your heart and God to say, God, I choose Jesus. And when you choose Jesus, you turn from your sin. You walk away from sin. You can't choose Jesus and bring your sin with you. You can't choose Jesus and bring the world with you. God says you can't have it both ways. It's either all in or not. And today, you can know Jesus. You can have him. You can have eternal life. You can be forgiven. You can have this truth that the angels don't even know. Sure, angels got some benefits to them, but they don't know salvation that you and I can know. They don't have the joy that comes from being forgiven of our sin, of feeling shame and feeling guilt. And I'm telling you, I mean, like, I'm a sinner. There's guilt and shame, but there's just rejoicing that comes when I understand that Jesus has forgiven me. All my sin has been forgiven. And the angels examine this truth with wonder. Let me give us four warnings. The application here is simple. There is no greater joy than knowing Christ and living for him today. This is the truth that I want to highlight from these verses. There's no greater joy than knowing Christ and living for him today. You can know the full revelation of God and the personal work of Jesus Christ, and you can live for him today. No matter your circumstance, no matter your situation, you can choose to follow Christ, to trust Christ, to know him because of what he's done for you on the cross. And here's my warnings. First, we must be careful not to take for granted the grace of God found in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many of us have grown up in the church. Many of us come here some Sunday after Sunday. And there's a temptation for us to celebrate what we have on Sundays in Jesus and to ignore it for the next week and just assume things about him. We must be careful to not take for granted the grace of God found in the cross and resurrection of Jesus. Matthew 13, Jesus says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." You and I have the gospel, the message of salvation for all who believe. We have the hope of the world held in our hands here, to know it. We have a way to know the character of God, his love and his wrath, to know his anger and his hope. We know to live for his glory. We know to trust his hand. We know to trust his plan. It brings life to those who believe. Must be careful not to take it for granted. Secondly, must be careful not to neglect the Word of God as a guide for our daily life. Be careful not to neglect the Word of God as a guide for our daily life. I can't tell you how many people I talk to who say things like, "Pastor, I can't hear God. I don't know what he wants for my life. I mean, I come here every Sunday. and you know, my life's a mess. I don't know what to do. I said, well, why don't you show me your journal where you sat down and write out your request to God, and show me what you've been reading. What do you mean? I mean, like, what are you asking of God right now? I mean, every time I'm here Sunday, I'm asking to do these things for me. The Bible is the way in which God speaks to us today. Primarily, the Word of God is the way in which He speaks to you and I today. It's fully inspired. It's His full Word. Dreams and visions are possible. They're out there. But by and large, the Word of God is the way in which God speaks to us today. And you and I have a duty and a responsibility every day to get before God and to meet with Him powerfully and to seek His will for our life. And let me just be honest with you. I'm behind in the church Bible reading plan, okay? Anybody else with me a little behind? All right, thank you. So you're okay, you're in good company. I'm behind, like a couple weeks behind. I just get in there and I get deep and I just get behind. But I went to the Lord on something the other day before I read the Bible, and I was like, Lord, I'm writing out my journal here. Here's what I'm looking for today. And the chapter I read in Joshua was exactly where I needed to be. God spoke clearly to me through that text. God's sovereign plan is real. I'm behind a little bit, but I'm right where God wanted me to be to hear what He wanted me to hear. And you won't know what God wants you to hear if you're not in His Word daily. He wants you in His Word daily. It's a guide to our daily life. So get a journal, write down three things you're asking of God. God, I need help here. Pray over Him every day. Go to His Word every day, looking and searching and asking and waiting for God to tell you. It's a guide to our life. We must not neglect the Word of God. Three, be careful not to neglect or ignore the Holy Spirit's work in our life. Don't neglect and ignore the Spirit's work in your life. 1 Timothy 4 says, don't neglect the gift within you, that is the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, don't quench the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is convicting you of sin, the best thing you can do is obey. There might be consequences to that. It's okay, God knows, obey. If God's asking you to do something, step out in faith and do it. If He's working you today to trust in Him, trust in Him. If He's asking you to be baptized, be baptized. If He wants you to step into membership at Christ Community, step into membership. Do whatever the Spirit of God is telling you. If you feel convicted that you need to confess something to your spouse, do it. Don't neglect or ignore the gift of the Holy Spirit in you today. Be obedient to what God's asking you to do. And number four, be careful not to allow the joy of your salvation to be replaced by the deceitfulness of this world. And this one's a big one. Be careful not to allow the joy of your salvation to be replaced by the deceitfulness of the world. In the American South, we have a tendency to try to live in both worlds, to try to have worldliness and success and work and money and all the benefits that are all the benefits. And go to church too. And that's a lie from Satan. We must understand that today, across this room, we do today what thousands upon thousands of other Christians globally are doing. We're gathering together on the Lord's Day across the globe to say, oh Jesus, you're our King. Oh Jesus, you have saved us from this world. Oh Jesus, you have done a work in us and called us to your kingdom. We are citizens there and exiles here. While we're here, let us not be deceived, but live for you and your mission. Let us not be convinced to settle, but to give it all for you. Now, I'm not saying worldliness. I'm not saying things like worldly wealth are bad. Worldly wealth can be blessings of God if you use it wisely and generously for His mission and His kingdom. God has blessed many people financially throughout the years. throughout history who've given a whole lot of money to making God's mission happen. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy some fruits of this world. Sure, I enjoy fruits of this world. But when these things become idols and replace joy of Jesus for joy of the world, then they become an idol. We must be careful concerning this salvation to not neglect what we have been given and the responsibility that we have to deliver it to others. And if I'm being honest, I wonder how many of us are truly finding our joy in the gospel. And how many of us have grown numb? I wonder how many of us are actually walking with Jesus beyond Sundays. How many of us have a regular time where we're just alone between us and God for maybe 15, 20 minutes in His Word? How many of us are cherishing the Bible or the Bibles we own in our homes? I just want to encourage you and challenge you, if you don't have a Bible, you should get a Bible. If you don't bring a Bible to church, you should bring a Bible to church. Because it's what we do. We open it up and we talk about it and we listen to it and we listen. I wonder how many of us could memorize or could quote 10 verses of the Bible that we've implanted in our hearts. 10 is a lot, okay. What about 5? 5 is a lot, okay. What about 3? I know y'all know that one. Yeah, we can rattle off sports scores and stats all day long. We could sing country music lyrics, and we could sing whatever we want to sing. Maybe not country music. Fill in your favorite genre. We implant in our hearts what we want to implant into our hearts. We put there what we cherish. Is the Word of God cherished in your home, elevated at your dinner table, celebrated in the mornings? Does God hear the men in this church on their knees calling out to Him in the mornings on behalf of their families, on behalf of their marriages, on behalf of their whatever? Are you centering your life on the revealed Word of God, the revelation of the person work of Jesus Christ? See, today is the day of our salvation. We have God's full revelation in Jesus, and we have this hope of eternal salvation. We have been fully forgiven and fully called to live for Him and His mission today, and there is no greater joy we have and to do that. Even here in a few minutes, we're going to pray and we're going to dismiss. This is not the end of your spiritual week. This is only the beginning of your walk with God Monday, Sunday at noon through next Sunday morning, where you will go and you will meet with Him and you will live for Him, rejoicing in all that you have. Will you bow with me this morning? We bow our hearts before this great King. The question I have is, what is the posture of your heart today? Are you wrapped up in the world? Deceived? Are you living in apathy to the gospel message? Has it grown numb and cold and not exciting and new? Is it just a classic, or is it vibrant and new? God, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper right now, all across this room, I pray for your church, this congregation, as they are thinking and dwelling on the position and posture of their heart right now, their life right now. We reflect on your words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Church, in this moment, you just prepare your heart to take the Lord's Supper. Confess to God any known sin. Confess to God any issues you might have with other people. Make a commitment to do as the Spirit is asking you to do. Lord, as we step into this moment, we thank you for your grace today. I pray if there be anyone here today who does not know Jesus, that today they would choose to trust in you. By faith, they would believe the gospel, right now, even in this moment, that they would give their lives to Jesus, committing to follow you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.